Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and I'd like to ask you, do you live love? What does that mean? We would love to live love more and more. But what kind of love are we talking about? How does love manifest in our lives, in our reality? And what can love do for us universally? Because I think we want to take it to a higher level. So to do that, let's talk to the author of a wonderful book called Love is the Power. It's about one man's journey to heal the heart of humanity. And we're talking to our guest, Robert O. Williams. Robert, welcome.
Peter, good morning. It's a pleasure to be on your show. It's a privilege, actually.
Well, it's a privilege to talk with you. You're amazing because, you know, I loved reading your book. And it was not easy to read because you went through tremendous trials. More than just, you know, I mean, certainly many of us have had very difficult trials in life, and yours are quite dramatic, and a lot of them. And so it was exciting to read about your evolution. But what's unique is that you started off very multidimensionally as a child, and your life continued to manifest in that way, and that's why I think you're an ideal person to present this book and the technologies that you're bringing into the world to help manifest, let's call it manifest love, manifest light, manifest joy and happiness. So let's talk.
Sure. Yeah.
And, yeah. So you started off with a friend called Jing.
Yeah.
And in a sense, you know, it never stops, really, right?
Yeah, the experiences in my book, or my life, the so-called stories and experiences that I've had and that are stored in my memory, that's certainly one part of the book. And it didn't take me too long to write it. But I want to at first acknowledge what you're doing, Peter, and what is happening here on the planet. Because starting with Jing, and which I'll get back to, what is happening is that we are growing as a human race, and we are beginning to tap in to our greater selves, our more whole self, and particularly with some of the work you've done, Peter, and I've read about you, and I've been a fan of your work.
Thank you.
But I grew up seeing things that other children and other people didn't see, nature spirits, and I saw auras, and still do actually. And one particular nature spirit hung out with me more than the others, and kind of was a teacher, showed me some of the phenomenon in nature, and would point out, for instance, he was quite fascinated with snails. So this was a being that actually just showed up and would lead me around the backyard and show me the different kinds of life there, and he was very excited when they flower would blossom. He would just have me study the bud, and you know, I was 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all the way until I was 12 years old. This nature spirit was there, and for any of your listeners that are wondering if this is true or not, it doesn't really matter. I had an argument with a psychological specialist, and he said, you know, I don't believe in those things. It all can be explained via your brain chemistry, and you know, this was all part of your imagination. And you know, after a while of saying, well, you know, he taught me things, and later several of us who were clairvoyant saw the same things at the same time. didn't really matter to the psychologist, but what I brought away from whatever was going on was a relationship with nature, a relationship with ourselves as part of nature, and which I think is one of the themes of your show and what you do. Do you want me to talk a little bit more about Jing, or do you want me to?
Really want to show that, you know, that you're somebody who was introduced to a multidimensional reality early in your life, mm-hmm. and you bumped into so many dark places in your life as well as incredible bright places. You came across a guru who had some wisdom for you for a while, and you you grew in many different special ways. But very often you grew because you had to, because you were faced with death, with your body not behaving properly, with the inability to hold life, and you had to reach to another level to survive, and you didn't know how to do that. And yet you were persistent at not following the traditional routes of helping yourself. You kind of left it open to a higher dimensional result, which came through for you.
Yes, it did, Peter. And you know how when we heal, however, let's say we go to the doctor and we get better, or we get a treatment and we heal up, and you know this very well, Peter, that what is happening isn't that there is something from the outside that really adds to us and then makes us more whole or makes us healthy. Those, certainly, we can take medicines and supplements and we can get corrective adjustments and so forth, but ultimately the source of our healing is our own consciousness, is our own self, it's our own greater self. So I went through these different phases and these different experiences. I became very, very close to death, and I also, which is not so much in the book, I also played hospice for a lot of people who were dying, and I was just, for whatever reason, I've been involved with transitions, and so birthing of beautiful young babies and the passing of dear people who were leaving their bodies, and because of these early on experiences of ultra dimensional and multidimensional, I began to really understand that there isn't really true death. There's death of our bodies. There's death of all kinds of things, but there's an immediate rebirthing on some other level. In my case, I was lucky to be rebirthed back into this body, and my first near-death experience was in 1979, and saw my body on the bathroom floor and realized that our perception of other things wasn't limited to our physical eyes. We know this now. You know, our own intuitions and our own third eye and the ability to cognize things that are not only physical. But I saw my body and then experienced this inexpressible dimension of light, or this inexpressible quality and reality of light. And I used that word because I couldn't find any other word. So we're not talking like sunlight or light from a bulb, but just this complete fulfillment, this complete wholeness. And I often say that we all had that experience in 1979 because there was it was a unified field. There was a It was the source of our healing. It's the source of our life. When I descended out of the light or from the light, it was a paradox because our light, our whole self, our higher consciousness, our greater potential, never leaves us. It just becomes less obvious when we are focused on anything, actually just focused on one thing compared to another. But in my case, if I'm focused on my body and I'm overshadowed by some experience, then that light is just a memory. But I've been around the block enough times with that process that the paradox can collapse and that the light can be here. And you spoke about being in the heart and living as love, living with the awakened heart. And that's the theme of my book. And it's not something that we have to add to us. We don't have to have a near-death experience. We don't have to see auras. We can connect with our own inner truth, our own whole self, with the usage of our attention and our heart chakras, our hearts. And I
one thing you said has to do with what in your book you call the grand paradox,
mm-hmm.
and really that's what we have to understand is what you're saying is true. That there is this super reality of our light and our undying consciousness, and how that supports us through life, and the light is there for us to lead the way, and yet the paradox is that we don't see it, and our minds think they have to make up for it and figure everything out and worry and complain. And yet, as you've had life experiences to show, that you can't win the war with your mind. You have to surrender.
Right.
And so surrendering is a big part of how you lived your life in ways that nobody could understand around you. When they kept telling you, you know, you got to fight this, you have to fight this, and you just didn't know how because you didn't know how else but to live in surrender.
Yes, exactly, and not discounting supplements and treatments along the way. You know, that's one of the paradoxes. So how I perceive reality is that there is a conjunction, there is an internal marriage between that which is unchanging, that which is full and has all the information fields for our own healing, for our own purpose on the planet, for everything. And we have our phases that we're living with our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions.
No, yeah. We have what we came here for,
which is
to be on this plane.
It.
And we have to be true to that and support our bodies in positive ways that help us be healthy enough to fulfill our role in life. And we each have unique roles to play out, and we need to honor that. And so it's really about how to surrender also to be fully engaged in the unique personalities that we're here to be.
Yes.
Without all the struggle around it. But now I want to get to a point that you bring is that there's a different consciousness when you can embrace this greater light that changes the struggle. It doesn't make it as hard. It somehow the light supports us if we can only enhance it. And so that's one thing that you're striving to do is to keep on bringing light to our consciousness so it doesn't, it's not as disturbed as it has been on this planet.
Right. And, you know, it's easier than we think. But, you know, pun intended, The heart is able to resolve the dilemma of our struggles, of our pain, of the terrible suffering that's happening, either in our own bodies or certainly somewhere on the earth. We know that there's, you know, bad things happening. People are getting abused, and then there are moments where we're ecstatically happy and we're just full of life and love and laughter. The heart can take both of those polarities and unify them, and it's actually quite effortless, and it's a realization. And I believe that we're at a time of mass realization because of what I call the seasons of humanity.
Yeah, we're in that season now. We're in what Kalman calls the ninth wave of consciousness. And even astronomers see that we're connected much more directly to the center of our galaxy, which is streaming a lot of powerful energy to us that will shift consciousness. And there's also a calendar we're meeting of being in a time of change.
Well, exactly. And back in 79, during my near-death experience, I was descending, if you will, back to my body, I saw a level of reality. I saw a fascinating and incredibly beautiful blueprint. I'm calling it a blueprint. It's the blueprint for our next highest level of consciousness, for our next highest level of aliveness, of wholeness, and blueprint. So my favorite analogy is a rose plant, where we start with the seed. You know, you look at the seed, you don't see anything that looks like a rose flower there. It's completely different. But yet, innate, built into the seed, of course, are all the different phases the plant goes through. Burst out, becomes a sprout, seeks the sun, comes up over into the earth or above the surface of the earth, and then the leaves, and then the stem, and the saps inside. These are phases of the rose. These are absolutely required for that flower to blossom. And then each phase change is preceded. And this is true. This is like right out of the horticulture and biology textbook. Each phase of change of that rose plant, for instance, from the seed to the sprout, or the stem to the leaf, there's an increase of disorder at first, because the order was maintaining a certain phase of existence for the rose plant. So let's say the stem, you know, it's very stem is stem. And, you know, then it has to become at least disordered enough for the breaking of that phase into the leaf phase. And then the leaf grows. There's a blueprint for that. There's a pattern, a subtle field of information that's allowing those phases to unfold and actually manifest on the physical
and maybe
reality.
Maybe that little edge that it has to change through is what is the impulse for greater energy to do it.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the roses. So the prior to the flowering of the actual rose flower, and we. Beautiful rose, we can smell it, it's so beautiful, which looks so different than the stem. Prior to that is the greatest disorder, the greatest amount of chaos. And so if you didn't know, you'd think there was something terribly wrong with this system, this plant, you know. It's very disordered. But then on the other side of that is it's the bud and then the flower. And what you just said is what makes humans unique, and it's a huge, huge gift. It is something we don't see animals talking different languages. We don't, with the possible exception of dolphins and some whales, but we don't, and they speak more telepathically, and I've experienced dolphins, but sticking with the human subject, we have the ability to extend the creative potential into very unique and very individualized realities. And that is why we're here. And along with our individuality, along with our unique bodies, there's no two bodies alike, no two cells alike, no two snowflakes alike. This is the amazing thing that this human experience is giving us and life on Earth, is that diversity or the uniqueness of anything is also part of the whole. It is not separate from the whole. And there's that paradox again. And
but that's the creation of the universe, too. Because
yes.
If it all came from light and it divided up into all of this, you know, all of the particulates of the universe, including our galaxy, our planet, our humanity, it's all the fascination of the expression of light turning into form that we're manifesting in very amazing ways. And that's what evolution is, and that's why we want to keep doing it the best we can, to manifest it in the most beautiful ways. And so I think that is a great purpose that we should hold, is to keep manifesting our uniqueness, but in terms of the light expressing itself in its magnificence.
Yes. The sap is always there in the rose plant. You know, you could say the sap is invisible but carries the nourishment. And the analogy breaks down because the light of who we are, the ultimate reality of each of us, is this freedom. It's a completeness of love, and love is the power. We had a debate over what to call my book, what to call this book, our book, and love is so overused, or you know, there's so many different ways that somebody can use the word love and understand love and define love. And I have to confess, I have a 12-year-old daughter who's got a little file on her computer, cute boys I love. So here we go. You know, what is she talking about? What does that mean? You know, and
she's talking about playing with light, and she's playing with her heart, and
exactly.
And joy, and yes. You know, it's so beautiful to see it manifest like that.
Right. And love at some point becomes a state of our existence. It's a similar synonym with light, because it love then allows us to be more whole, and in that wholeness we know that we are one with all others. And when we reach that state of consciousness, there is something that's been in all the indigenous cultures and in all the religions for a long, long time, and that is the golden rule: as you give to others, give to others as you would have them give to you, or love others as you would have them love you. There isn't actually a difference at a certain state of consciousness. As you love, as you extend kindness, or as you extend appropriate behavior or humor or compassion, it automatically is nourishing the subject of that, or you. If
right.
I'm loving you, I'm receiving love. There's no separation. Yeah,
we evolved through the three tenets of truth, beauty, and goodness, and so we want to represent that in every way that we can, and we need to get out of our own limited thinking, which is why we need to raise our frequencies. And so we only have a little time left, and I want people to be able to get your app. And I know I can get it on, I have it on my iPhone, but people with Androids are having trouble finding the app. So, and this is
yep.
an app called 108, and there are 108 different, let's call them, portals. It has to do with geometry and frequencies and all kinds of science, actually. And you've put that into an app, and it enhances the light. And so can you just help us get to that app?
Sure. Sure. Okay. There's some technical issues, but the technical guys are working on that every day, so that it can be available on Android and also iPads or anything, any place that you can download an app. You can get this technology or this app, and it's called actually the Heart Plus app, H-E-R-T, and then the sign, the plus sign, Heart Plus app. And it'll show up in a few days. It's on the Apple Store right now.
I already have it.
Yeah.
And so
cool.
When we air the show, hopefully everything will be working properly, and people can download it. And then in the presence of this app on our phones, it emits an energy. How close do we have to be to our phones?
If we've actually done tests, you can be 40, 50 feet away from your phone, and it's still your heart chakra still can pick up on this. But, you know, phones are around us these days pretty much all the time. You have to have the app turned on. It's a one-time $1.95 fee, and it lasts forever as long as your cell phone lasts. What it is, and you said it really, really elegantly, Peter, it is our own innate frequencies, the codes of our awakening, the codes of higher consciousness, the codes that link us with the source of our own healing, or the source of our own creative intelligence, more clearly. And this is not something I came up with. This is something that's I saw on these higher dimensions. There's 108 mandalas. There's 108 symbols and frequencies that are now active. It's like the seed of the rose didn't have those active frequencies or the active information fields for the flowering, because he hadn't come to that time period. But humans now are in this time of blossoming, and those codes are there for that reason.
Yeah, and we're going to have to sign off in a minute or so. So I want people to know that they can go to your website, and they can purchase Love is the Power. It's a great book to read, amazing story about your life and so many great enlightenments in it. And your name is Robert O. Williams. And what's your website?
Loveisthepower.com. Loveisthepower.com. With no spaces, of course. You get it all there. Everything is there.
And this is wonderful talking with you, and it's great work. Hopefully we can connect again.
I'd love that.
Promote this more.
Thank you, and I want to support you and your show. You're doing wonderful work, wonderful work.
Thank you, Robert. I'm so glad we could talk, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
Likewise.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Mm-hmm.